Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.
It's a challenge to the Christians. Are they content with things as they are, or do they want to see a great coming to God through prayer? And do they truly want to be filled with a burning desire to see people saved?
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Jordan Begay, Associate Pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, presents a special teaching in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
Isaiah 58. It's on page 956 in my Bible, if that helps you. I was studying Ephesians as we continue through the book of Ephesians, and I just felt led to have, as you see it on the screen there, a call to action. I feel it's from the Lord. You guys evaluate it as you go through. But the best that I could tell, he wanted me to pause and dive into what we're going to see today. This call to action will actually involve four different action steps. So, everybody have a pen? A tablet? Anybody not have a pen? You've got a bulletin there, you can write on that. See if you have the four action steps at the end of it. And I believe that the Lord could be saying to us as a group of people, first service, second service, and third service, a group of people, that what he has placed upon my heart is important for us, not only as individuals, but as a congregation, a gathering of people when we come together. So again, there's going to be a call to action. It's your choice, whatever you want to do. Four action steps that we will see that during the month of June and more during the month of July, we might consider. We get to the end of July, then we'll consider August, and so on and so on. And so we'll just see what the Lord, if it's of him, that he would do. A question to start out today is, are you satisfied spiritually? Are you satisfied? Am I satisfied spiritually? Are we satisfied with what we see in the world and the church today, the overall church, but our church too? Are we satisfied? In a godly way, would we change something if we could? Would we invite God to change whatever he wants to in the overall church of Jesus Christ, us specifically as a congregation that comes together as Horizon Indy, but us as individuals, part of the church? If we're not satisfied, do we truly desire to see a great outpouring of God's Spirit upon our lives? For over a year now, we've been asking ourselves to pray for a revival. That's a refreshment, a restoration, a movement of God within our midst. It's a very specific thing that he does. Brings revival. Anybody been praying for revival? Praying for yourself for revival? Because if we do that, sometimes trials can come in our lives. Because he'll want to break us down. He'll want to work in our lives in a very specific way. And so today, are we satisfied spiritually? Now, for those that don't know, there was a gentleman that lived in our home, Vi and I, for the last 5 years of his life. He was passed away at 97. His name was William J. Willis. He had known the Lord for 80 years, over 80 years, actually, and he was a prayer intercessor. He would go into his room. He would pray for hours upon hours upon hours. We'd walk by in our house, his bedroom door, and we could hear him weeping there, praying. praying for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. And for those that have been around, they've heard this before, but I pray that you would bear with it. But for those that haven't, I went to him one day just before he passed away, and I said, Mr. Willis, if there's something that you could say to the overall Church of Jesus Christ on this earth, what is it that you would say? I had my pen. I had my piece of paper. And this is what he said. Call together those who are truly interested. Those who truly want to see God's Holy Spirit working. Call them together. Those who believe that God's Holy Spirit desires revival, call them together. He's looking for Christians everywhere to bring it about. It's a challenge to the Christians. Are they content with things as they are, or do they want to see a great coming to God through prayer, and do they truly want to be filled with a burning desire to see people saved? Yesterday I had, and I'll pause just for a moment here. Yesterday we had a very busy day. We had a funeral in the morning. Then we had a wedding. Then we had three open houses. Then we had a wedding. It was a busy day. But starting out our day with a 23-year-old man, boy, that unfortunately on his motorcycle went through a traffic signal and hit the side of a truck instantaneously from this life to the next life. Praise the Lord that he knew Jesus. But if he didn't, eternity is a long time to be separated from God. Mr. Willis said, are they content with things as they are, or do they want to see a great coming to God through prayer? And do they truly want to be filled with a burning desire to see people saved? Praise the Lord that he was saved. I don't understand all things. Why he went through a red light. I don't understand that. I'm not God. But do we have a burning desire for those in our family, those in our neighborhood, those in our community, those in our state, those in the United States of America? We're supposed to pray for our president from 9 to 10. It's 9 minutes after we missed it, okay? But I think he needs 2 hours of prayer. So if you think of it, you know, just praying for him. Today, Franklin Graham asked that we would do that because he knew the churches would be gathering. Lord, we pray that you'd bless our president and his wife, and we pray that you'd bless those that are around him, that they would yield themselves to you 100%. Mr. Willis goes on, God's people have to realize that revival costs. God's people have a price to pay. If they will pay it, God will honor it. And then he said, Lord, help me. And so I've been praying, Lord, help me. Bring revival. Draw a circle around ourselves. Step into that circle and say, Lord, bring revival. Don't let me get out of that circle until that revival starts there. Hezekiah said this in chapter 18, verses 5 through 7. He says, he trusted in the Lord of Israel, it said of him, so that after, speaking of Hezekiah, so after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. Think about that. No king would be like him after him. And it says there in Ezekiel, or 2 Kings, excuse me. It says in 2 Kings that there was none before him like him. That includes David. That includes David. It goes on to say, for he held fast to the Lord. Oh, that we would do that. He did not depart from following him. Oh, that we might do that. But kept his commandments. May we do that. Which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. Lord, please be with us. And he prospered wherever he went. Lord, may you prosper our steps. What an amazing area of scripture that we see there. Today we will take, as I said, a look at two specific invitations from God that to us that are found in scripture concerning seeking the face of God. Here in the beginning, and I'll close with two others. The first one is prayer. The second one is fasting. Prayer and fasting. I know people get very excited when I teach about fasting. Don't you guys? Fasting. It means to do without in some area of our life. The without, I'll let you and God decide that. It's not up to me to do that. And so let's begin by prayer. call to action. We've been speaking of revival. We've been speaking, God, that you might pour out your presence in the midst of our lives. Listen to what Scripture says in Psalm 65, verse 2, concerning prayer. It says, O you, speaking of God, who hears prayer, to you all flesh will come. God hears our prayer. Now, we know that up here, but I pray even more so we'd understand what a wonderful relationship that is. Jesus himself tells us to whom we are to pray and why. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Here's the reason why. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are encouraged to pray. Scripture says this, the words of Jesus. Then he spoke a parable to them saying, men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Anybody else beside me ever lose heart? But Lord, I've been praying for this year upon year, actually decade upon decade. Do you hear my prayer? Of course he hears our prayers. Must be according to his will, but there's other people that are involved. There's freedom of choice involved as we pray for our family members that they would give their hearts to Jesus. It's going to take a yielding, a surrender in their lives. It's going to take a breaking. Jesus said, because they could not cast out demons, the disciples could not as he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And he was asked, why can't your disciples do this? And Jesus said simply, because it takes prayer and it also takes fasting to break down strongholds that would be there. In Philippians, we are encouraged to pray. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Our prayers, according to Scripture, will be answered. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. How many want to see that? May, Lord, would you please do that in our midst? May you do it in our communities. May you do it in our state. May you do it in the United States of America. May you do it throughout the world. Throughout the world. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What does anything mean? Isn't that unbelievable? Everything. Anything. That's hard to believe. Hard to believe. John said this, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. We must pray according to his will, and that's why we need to be in prayer, because we get close to the Lord. There are some conditions for success in prayer. I wrote these down. Humility. There in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, you guys know the verse. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Do we want to see our land healed? It is crazy out there, is it not, ladies and gentlemen? Yes or no?
Yes.
It's crazy. I don't know how, is it crazy in Georgia, the nation of Georgia? Crazy. It's crazy. It really is. The end times are before us. Troublous times will come our way. Conditions for success in prayer, one is wholeheartedness. And you, Scripture says, will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I'm not sure all what all means for you. I'm trying to find out what all means for me. I'll leave that in your hands between you and God. But whatever it is, again, it says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. May we do that maybe through June, through July, and seek with all of our heart. Lord, whatever that means for us individually, for me individually, whatever that means, speak to me about that. Spend time in prayer. We've been praying for a revival of praise. We've been praying for a revival of prayer. We've been praying for a revival of purity. We've been praying for a passion, a revival of passion for those that are lost. We've been praying for people to have a desire to stand upon the Word of God, the principle of the Word of God. We've been praying for years for that. We know and we believe that God will answer those prayers. There will be rejoicing in our midst. There will be a change in our lives. Another condition for prayer, Jesus said it himself, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Lord, you mean that as I know according to your will, this is your prayer that I am to pray, that you want me to simply believe, trust in, rely upon, adhere to, that it's your desire to answer those prayers and that I can have the answer to those prayers? Seems to be what Jesus is saying. "Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." I'm not into demanding things. Today in the newspaper, there was an article about a quote, a Christian evangelist, and he was getting pinged on, rightfully so. And they were confronting him and saying, "Why do you have not one Learjet, but why do you have two private jets? And not just two, why do you have three Learjets?" And he says, "Well, because I need them." And I'm thinking, I'm not sure about that. I'm not going to judge him. I'll leave that up to him. But, you know, he actually said that Jesus, if he was born now on earth, wouldn't ride a donkey. And I thought, okay, you know, all right. Dangerous thing. Be careful. We're not to cross over and be into that doctrine of name it and claim it that this evangelist speaks of. Righteousness is another condition for the answered prayer. "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Obedience is another one. "And whatever we ask, we receive for him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Jesus said that we are to ask, we are to seek, and we are to knock. Actually, the Greek there is that we are to keep asking, we are to keep knocking, we are to keep seeking in that way. Prayer is wonderful. And so now we move to the second thing that we want to speak of today. Call to action is us as individuals. We've been called to pray, but I believe the Holy Spirit is saying we are called to fast. Now, I don't know what fasting looks for you, like for you. Whatever it is, whatever the Lord says to you, be involved in it. It could be stopping Snicker bars, okay, for a while. Here's one, going off coffee for a month. There's usually a lot of groans in that one, you know. You never know. I'm just using that as an example. I'm not saying what you have to do or anything. It could be fasting a meal during a week. It could be taking a day during the month. It could be whatever it could be during June and July. And we'd say, "Lord, you've called us as a congregation to act upon what was spoken. I want to pray more. I want to pray according to your will." And it's important that we set ourselves aside that we might know his will and his purposes and how to pray. And fasting is a tremendous thing. Jesus said this concerning fasting. "Call the friends of, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." We're in those days. Jesus is in heaven. We are called to fast. Jesus said, "But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Examples that we find in Scripture. Moses prayed this way and fasted this way. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets, God wrote on the tablets, the words of the covenant and the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments are very important. They're absolutes that we have today. Moses had to fast to receive those. Today, we may be called to fast to receive something through prayer that would be something that we prayed for years. Then Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. 40 days is a long time. I've never done a fast that long. I really haven't. I've known some people that have, and I commend them for that. I haven't volunteered for that, you know. But yet, what if we fast a meal during June? What if we fast a day? What if we fast multiple times during June and July, seeking the Lord that he might change us, that he might bless us with his presence, that things would be radical in our lives? We've asked not only that we would pray for a revival of prayer and praise and purity and passion for the lost and standing upon the principles of the Word of God, but we've asked, starting in January of 2019, that we as a congregation would pray for a radical heart for the Word of God to be in our midst. We've asked that we would pray for a radical heart for prayer. We've asked that we would pray for a radical heart concerning discipleship, that we would pray for a radical heart for sharing our faith, and that we would pray for a radical heart for giving unto the Lord and to others. Tuesday, if you want the thing concerning a revival on prayer and this thing that I just mentioned here and all that's in there, it'll be on the website in that way. And so prayer is important. Amen? Let's look at fasting. You guys ready? Fasting. Let's look at the reasons not to fast to begin with. God in chapter 58, you guys are there, of Isaiah. Let's read through verse 5 and then I'll come back and summarize things that do not please the Lord, even though a person would fast, because the heart is not correct. Cry aloud, verse 1. Spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people, God is speaking here, their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. So he's being very specific through the prophet. Then he cries out in verse 2, yet they seek me daily. They're saying this, that they seek me daily and delight. They're saying that they delight to know my ways. And they're saying as a nation that did righteousness, that they are righteous. And they're saying that they did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They're saying they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They say they take delight in approaching God. And then in verse 3, why have you fasted, they say? Why have we done that? What's the use? Because you have not seen God. Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, God says to them, you find pleasure. Their heart wasn't right. And exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. He's just simply saying, golly, you say you fast and you appear religious, but your heart is far from what you are doing. Verse 5, he says, is it a fast that I have chosen? The answer would be no. A day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Wow. But they were fasting. Here Isaiah had the difficult responsibility to convict the people and show them their sins. Isaiah, we have done all this. We've reached out to God in this way. And Isaiah said, no, God sees that your heart is not right in what you're doing. You're fasting for your own purposes. So don't fast, basically, is what he's saying. Here we see Isaiah had to deal with them plainly. He could not flatter them, but needed to show them their sinful attitude. He had to shout loudly and not hold back, not spare, though they were unhappy with him. He had to confront how good they thought they were when they were saying what they are saying here. Listen to the summary. They were saying day after day they were seeking God, but in reality they weren't. They pleaded that God would find any transgression in their lives because they were diligently and constantly seeking to worship God. So what could God possibly want? In other words, they saw themselves as righteous, but God looked beyond their actions and saw their heart. They loved to hear good preaching, good for them, but no doubt they wouldn't listen to it or act upon it. They seemed eager to know God's ways, seemed eager, but were they truly that way? Isaiah is saying, no, they weren't. They seemed eager for God to come near to them. They seemed to take pleasure in the exercises of religion. They had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. They seemed to ask God for just decisions. They seemed that they wanted God's decisions, but in reality, Isaiah is saying, when he gave the decisions that he wanted, you didn't act upon them. They seem inquisitive concerning their duty with God. Well, it's one thing to be inquisitive, but it is another one to do it, is what Isaiah is saying. They appeared to the world as if they set their hearts on doing their duty for God, yet in reality, they were so very far from God. Pretty strong message, isn't it? Not my message, Isaiah's message. And they were the epitome of the reality that men may go a great way towards heaven and yet come short. As it has been said, many go to hell with a good reputation. It's hard. Hard, isn't it? It really is. But they were crying out, God, we are righteous. We are your people, the people of Israel. Today we could say, but Lord, we are Christians. But are we really being obedient? Now, I know you didn't come to be beat up, okay? So there's another side to it. We had everybody go, shh, like that. But we must hear the challenge that is there. We must be moved. One thing is for sure, God will not respond to this type of fasting in verses 1 through 5. In summary, there were two specific reasons their fast was unacceptable. They were as covetous, number one, and unmerciful as ever. And number two, they were contentious and spiteful. That's what it breaks down to. We cannot be that way. And no one here I know would be that way. And so we see what we are not to do concerning the fast. Let's turn and look at verses 6 through 11 and see God's chosen fast. This is what we are to do. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, verse 6? To loose the bonds of wickedness. That's why we fast. To undo the heavy burdens. That's why we fast. To let the oppressed go free, that's why we would fast. That you break every yoke, that's why we would fast. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover them, the needs of the people, and hide yourself, and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here am I. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. That's exciting, isn't it? The things that we see there. God's chosen fast. A fast that pleases God will cause us to, let me summarize, verses 6 through 11, be merciful. A true fast that pleases God will cause us to be charitable to those who are in need for food or clothing. We'll have action. We'll let the person who is in debt and truly has nothing to pay, we'll let them go free, thus breaking a yoke of bondage that would be upon them. We set people free the way they should be set free. We contribute to the rescue and ransom of those who are oppressed by others. We provide lodging to those who need it. We abstain from all acts of violence and fraud. We stop pointing our finger at people. We stop gossiping and talking maliciously. As we fast, that will be a result. How God will respond to a true time of prayer and fasting? Listen just to a few that I put down. Number one, God will surprise us with the return of mercy after great affliction, which will be as welcome as the light of the morning after a long, dark night. Has God ever taken you to a deep place, a dark place? Jesus was ushered to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. God will take us at times to places that are deep, hurtful at times. He will allow us to go there because he wants to work in our lives. We've seen tragedy. Every one of us that are here, I believe, have seen tragedy. Loved ones pass away. People that we love not speak kindly of us. Things that go deeply into our hearts. That's a good sign that we should go to prayer. If we are cheerful and doing good, God will make us cheerful and enjoying good. Our good works will be recompensed with a good name. Our prayers will be answered. Excuse me. God will hear us. God will guide us continually as we fast according to the way that he wants us to fast and pray. God will not only give us wisdom and knowledge, but he'll give us joy. I have never found, today actually is 44 years to the day that Vi and I gave our hearts to the Lord. That's a long time, isn't it? Long time, 44 years. Some here have walked with the Lord more than that. But I can stand before you today in all honesty and say that whenever the Lord has required something to be taken away, and I have recognized that, and he has enabled me to lay that down, that when that has happened by his Spirit, his work, not Bill's work, not definitely Bill's desire, my desire, but he, when he has taken that, that he hasn't given me something far better. Far better and everlasting. It's the way that he is. Because God is what? He's love. He can't work any other way. And even in his love, he says no. In his love, he says yes. And in his love, he says wait. He doesn't ever say maybe. He says yes, no, and wait. He's a good God. He'll bring joy into our lives. We see we will be satisfied within because we have a good conscience and the assurance of God's favor. God will satisfy our need and put gladness in our hearts. God will give us a pleasure that will support us as our bones support our body. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We see that. God will make us like a well-watered garden. We see this in Isaiah. Fruitful in graces and like a spring whose waters shall never fail, even in droughts or frosts. God will make us like a spring of water, though it is continually sending forth its water, yet it always remains full. So the charitable person abounds in good as he abounds in doing good and is never poorer for his liberality. You ever find that when you give to God, he outgives what you have given? It's always that way. That's who he is. Do we serve a good God? But I believe that he would call us as a group of people to action. Action to pray. Action to fast. Action to pray over those things. Here's number three. These things, this revival of prayer, or a revival of prayer and praise and purity, and that other thing that I mentioned there that we have us, we're praying for during 2019. Those things that he's calling us into action for. And I believe he's calling us in to meditate over certain scriptures that are upon your heart, whatever those scriptures would be. Mine, I know, are Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2, that I would surrender my life as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to him as my act of spiritual worship, and that I would not be conformed to this world, but I'd be transformed by the renewing of my mind into that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've been praying it now for months. I keep wanting to pray it. I want him to move. I want him to do whatever he wants to do. I pray, God, that also that you would empower me to walk in the Spirit so I don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. And Jesus, I sure do want you to be preeminent over my life. Been praying those things. Other prayers that you may have, we stand upon those things. The call to action that we see. It's a beautiful thing. It really is. I will close with this. Again, Mr. Willis's statement. Please listen one last time. Call together those who are really interested. Those who truly want to see God's Holy Spirit working. Those who believe that God's Holy Spirit desires revival. He's looking for Christians everywhere to bring it about. It's a challenge to the Christians. Are they content with things as they are, or do they want to see a great coming to God through prayer? And do they truly want to be filled with a burning desire to see people saved? God's people have to realize that revival costs. God's people have a price to pay. If they will pay it, God will honor it. Lord, help me. May that be our prayer today. Message okay? Call to action, that we would pray and that we would fast. We would take scriptures that we know, write them down, and meditate over them and pray over them and ask God to pray them into our lives. And we would pray these things that have been presented to us as a group of people, that God will visit us in ways that maybe we have never, ever been visited before.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the Word.